Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
It is a, Wednesday today? Game one NBA Finals in the books, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. All day today, 3 hours, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Nick Wright's on today, former Phoenix Sun Tom Chambers on today. Dana White, huge UFC fight this weekend. I'll be watching that. Take a little vacay with the kids. Joey Taylor, how are you?
I'm great. What a great game last night.
It was. I like watching the Suns. I think they're fun. Nothing against Milwaukee, but Milwaukee's an older team. You know what I mean? Like, Phoenix is new and fresh and, you know.
They got a little flair to them.
A little flair to them.
The fans definitely make it fun.
They do. It's nice. You know, I as I've told you many times, when I was a little kid growing up, I loved the Seattle Sonics. That was my team. And Phoenix was great back then. And we the Sonics, my team, we always struggled in Phoenix. So it's good to see them good again. The Warriors were great when I was a kid. Then they were lousy for 30 years. They're great again. So it's all coming full circle. If you really look at sports, the most comfortable team over the course of a game almost always wins. We talk about officiating, you know, this call and that call. We talk about rebounding. We talk about spacing. The most comfortable team wins. In the Super Bowl, Patrick Mahomes was uncomfortable. Tom Brady was more comfortable, and Tampa won. It wasn't that Brady played great. It was that Tampa's defense was great. The two tackles were missing for the Chiefs, and Mahomes was virtually uncomfortable for the entire game, 60 snaps. That was the game. You can talk about anything else. That was the game. Last night, Phoenix was really comfortable. Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and DeAndre Ayton did whatever they wanted to, and those are their three stars, and Milwaukee didn't make any of them uncomfortable. They went 28 for 50, 20 for 20 from the free throw line. That's the ball game. Real simple. You got to make one or two of them struggle. The Bucks needed to look in the mirror. Stop whining about free throw disparity. You made no coaching adjustments. Chris Paul in the pick and roll ate you alive. Giannis only took 11 shots, didn't make the Suns uncomfortable there. Phoenix was more aggressive. Phoenix set the tone. I always love when teams complain about the free throw disparity. You got to be aggressive to get to the free throw line, not jack up almost 40 threes, not have Giannis only take 11 shots. The Suns, by the way, took the second fewest free throws in the NBA this year and made the finals. If you're complaining that you didn't get enough free throws, look in the mirror. Milwaukee, you don't make them when you get them. The Suns were second fewest free throw shooting team in the league and second in free throw percentage. So they didn't shoot many of them. When they did, they make them. Milwaukee, you shot a lot more free throws. You were 23rd in the NBA in making them. Milwaukee essentially last night was Milwaukee. What are the two general themes we've talked about with the Bucks all playoffs? They kind of start slow. You know, they get their one or two games every series, they're totally flat. They don't come out with a ton of energy. Giannis had it. Nobody else did. And the second thing is they don't make a ton of coaching adjustments. They don't. And they didn't last night. That you saw what Milwaukee is, and you also saw what Phoenix is. Phoenix did this with the Lakers. They did it with the Nuggets, and they did it with the Clippers. They seize control first game of the series. They play kind of a relentless style, possession to possession. I don't remember an NBA team, and maybe it's their youth, every single time down the floor, Phoenix plays with this urgency. Every basket matters, and it's probably the naivete of youth. Like, everything matters. This is a big spot. We got to play hard, and they do. They don't wait for the game to come to them. We saw it with the Mavs, or Lakers. We saw it with the Nuggets. We saw it with the Clippers. They get on top of the teams. And Milwaukee last night, they get on top of you, and now you're playing catch-up. Well, that's not what Milwaukee does. They're the Ravens of the NBA. They're not a great free-throw shooting team. Their best player's a liability late. Milwaukee's very good. We said this during the regular season. Milwaukee and the Baltimore Ravens play downhill. They get a lead on you, you're in big trouble. But trailing, They don't feel like the same team. And that's the reality of basketball. The Kansas City Chiefs and the Golden State Warriors in their prime. Lead trailing didn't matter. So explosive. Milwaukee's not that explosive. Baltimore throwing the football, not that explosive. So they have to play a certain way to win. And Phoenix doesn't allow you to play a certain way because they attack. They're fast. They're quick. They're urgent. They're relentless. I mean, everything went on script. If you had written a script and you'd say, yeah, Chris Paul will take over the game. He'll feel it out for the first half, come out in the third quarter, score 16 of his 32, and take total control of the tempo. And that's exactly what happened. And Milwaukee made no adjustments, never made them uncomfortable, threw up almost 40 threes, didn't create free throw opportunities because they didn't attack the basket enough. Giannis only had 11 shots. I mean, if I would have told you before the game, if I'd have just told you this, Chris Paul has 32 points, 9 assists, almost no turnovers, perfect from the free throw line, what do you think happened? You'd be like, well, you let Chris Paul do what Chris Paul does. You got to take him out of the game a little, make him a little uncomfortable. Even Mike Budenholzer admitted as much after the game.
He's a good player. Their pick and roll game is tough to guard. So I think we just got to keep getting better. We'll look at the film, see how we can maybe take away some of the rhythm, to just take it where or make it where he's not getting to his spots as easily. That'll be a big part of looking between game one and game two.
So Chris Paul isn't getting to his spot as easily. That was the game. Chris went where he wanted to go. If you let a quarterback drop back with time, roll left, roll right, play action, never uncomfortable, that's Brady in the Super Bowl. He's going to eat you alive. This is a Chris Paul first ballot Hall of Fame top 5 point guard. You can't let him do whatever he wants. And Milwaukee did. All right, so I didn't see a ton of the match yesterday. I did not. Probably getting a big workout in or something, I don't know. Anyway, it was Brady, it was Aaron Rodgers. I thought the winner, from what I did see, was the state of Montana. That was a 3-hour commercial for the Montana Chamber of Commerce. I got to imagine tens of thousands of people called a real estate agent or went to Zillow.com to look up real estate in Montana. The other winner was Aaron Rodgers putting. Good Lord, he's good at that. But ask yourself this. Wasn't it kind of jokey? I mean, wasn't it kind of like fun and chill? If Aaron Rodgers was going through a real divorce, you think all the guys would joke about it? Like if you went golfing with your buddies, and you were going through a divorce and it was imminent and everybody knew it, wouldn't you offer more sympathy than pokes in the ribs? When I watched this whole thing, first of all, we didn't get any grand announcement. Aaron's not going to make a grand announcement on a celebrity golf event that steals the thunder from the celebrity golf event. He's with his guys. He's with his buddies. So that's the first thing. The second thing is Aaron wears his feelings on his sleeve. And he was chill, laughing, relaxed. He's probably reveling in some of this. He's made a decision. He knows to some degree right now contractually he is trapped like Brady was 4 years ago in New England. So you just deal with the stuff that wears you out. You know, I said this earlier about Aaron Rodgers about a month ago, I think. Joy and I talked about this. In life, if you know you're kind of trapped in your job, you have a contract you can't get out, you have a boss you don't like, and you can complain about it and bang your head in the wall all day, or you can at some point come to terms with, well, I want to be happy. So I'm just gonna take a more casual approach. I can't solve every problem at my company. There's nothing I can do to get out of my contract. And that's the Aaron Rodgers I watched yesterday. It's like he's come to terms with it. He's going back to Green Bay. He probably, if this was serious and he was breaking up, don't you think he'd call Brady or Mickelson? DeChambeau and say, guys, this is sensitive. This is kind of, can we just be cool about it? That's what you would do with your guys if you were going golfing and having a divorce. Guys, I'm exhausted. This is brutal. I can't take 4 hours of crap. Your guys would offer sympathy. Nobody was offering sympathy. They were just poking and poking and poking and poking and poking because Aaron was cool with it. I don't think Aaron's happy with the situation, but I mean, Here was a big moment where he could have unveiled the truth.
Packers, Bears, any idea who's going to be there? Anybody who's going to be quarterbacking in the number 12 jersey?
Yeah, I don't know, B.A. We'll see.
How about September 12th then? How will you go for that one?
What's that one?
That would be the opener against the Saints.
Oh.
All cheesers rejoice.
Yeah, I don't know, B.A. We'll see.
I don't know. It looked too casual, too jokey, too fun. My feeling is anybody in life that knows they're kind of trapped, I mean, let's be honest. It isn't the worst problem in the world being a starting quarterback for Green Bay and making $35 million a year. Aaron could bang his head against the wall, but I think he's come to terms with it. I probably have a year left. I wanted to kind of sign off for the offseason, get this out of my head, take care of me mentally, play a lot of golf, go to Hawaii, let my hair grow. He looks happy to me. I think he's come to some resolution with himself that, listen, what am I going to do? Yell and scream all offseason? I want to escape one more year in Green Bay and let Jordan have the team. That's what it feels like to me.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
You know, Chris Paul can smell blood in the water. Okay. You know, you've watched these boxing matches, even for like defensive fighters, like a Floyd Mayweather, and they can sense weakness. They sense the fatigue or the opening, and they go into attack mode. And they leave themselves a little vulnerable to get hit back. But you can sense the great fighters. It's all about just, you're sensing the weakness of your opponent. And then you attack quickly, get out. That's where Chris Paul is. Like, this is attack mode for Chris. Chris Paul, the distributor, last two games has become Chris Paul, the scorer. Last two games, 37, 36 points, 9 assists. He's gotten hyper-aggressive. And I think Chris Paul knows this. Because Chris Paul knows Chris Paul better than all of us do. This is the perfect moment for Phoenix. It will not look just like this next year. Now, let me explain. It's a young team. They're hungry. They're listening. All right? They needed Chris. None of them have a title. None of them have big money. If the Suns win the title, you all get the temperature in the room changes. It's called the disease of more, Pat Riley. A little more credit, a little more money, a little more. It's very human. Go ask the Chicago Cubs. They won the championship with all these young players. The World Series title. Came back the next year. They were good. Everybody took a little more credit for it. That's my World Series. Everybody wanted a little more money. The Cubs were good. Didn't quite have that hunger. If Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton win a championship, you think they want to get barked at as much by Chris Paul? Chris wears out everybody. He's got a little Jim Harbaugh in him. It's good early. This football team needs Harbaugh. We need his guidance. We are young. He is tough on us. After about 3 years of Jim Harbaugh, you're like, all right, we won. And we won a Rose Bowl. We got to the Super Bowl. I'm tired of Jim Harbaugh yelling at me. That's Chris Paul's personality. The temperature in the room changes. And I mean, Anthony Davis won a title. The following year, he's not the same player. The idea that it should be the same Suns team, they won't be as young, they'll have more confidence, they'll have hitting big shots, they'll have a ring, everybody in Phoenix tell them all day, you the man. Now you're not quite as willing to every day get the bark from Chris. It's okay. So there's an argument to be made. Chris Paul is the president of the Players Association. He's not taking a pay cut. When Drew Brees was the president of the Players Association, he wasn't taking pay cuts. When he wasn't the president, I'll take a pay cut, right? So Chris isn't going to take a pay cut. Not saying he should. I'm saying he won't. A lot of guys in the NBA, there's a lot of Chris Bosh's, D Wade's have said, I'll take a little less. Kevin Durant taking a little less. Chris isn't going to do that. Chris wants 4 years because he's 36 and he has a history of injuries. Same reason AD signed a 5-year deal with the Lakers. I've been hurt. I want my money. I would do the same thing. But there's an argument to be made. If Chris wants 4 and that's what he's going to demand, you sell the stock. Like, you won a championship. Our future is Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton and Mikal Bridges. That's the future. We'll always be able to supplement that with you know, the Jay Crowders of the world. And I know everybody said, media always does this. You got to let him run it back. No, you don't. You do not do that. What Tampa's doing in the NFL is almost unheard of, where everybody comes back. It's why I like the Chiefs to beat the Bucs this year. Tampa will not quite be as hungry. Young players got their money. That workout you cut short after an hour and a half, you don't go to two. The disease of more, it's okay. It's real. We've seen the Cubs. I don't think the Buccaneers win the Super Bowl this year. I think the Chiefs do. Or Buffalo does. The workouts are longer. You stay longer for practice. And so I think there is an interesting time now. If Chris took 2 years, I'd sign him tomorrow. Three, I'd have a couple meetings. Four, I'd let him go. And I love Chris Paul. I'm Mr. Chris Paul guy. But there is an argument to be made. This is the perfect moment, and Chris totally understands. I'm a score now. Saw it against the Clippers. You see it against the Bucks. It's like, okay, I'm this far away now. I'm gonna take a few more shots now. I'm not letting anybody score. I'm gonna take a few more shots. Completely understandable. But you can ask the Cubs, and you go look back at these championship teams. This thing about you always gotta let them run it back. There are times when it all comes together and teams change.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, the Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you can get your podcast.
You know, it's funny about this. There's been a lot made. LeBron's, you know, tweaked the NBA. It's these injuries. It's the condensed season. Okay, so here we are. We're in the finals. Bucks Suns. 30 available players. All but one is here. DiVincenzo, the guard for Milwaukee, Dante DiVincenzo, he played at Villanova. He got hurt. That's it. 29 of 30 players are available. The injury thing, there's injuries every year. It's being overplayed. I mean, Giannis, I watched him last night. I thought he was really good. He's not 100%, but again, it's a long season. Chris Paul, I don't think he's 100%. We found his story the other day. He's not 100%. Devin Booker's nose, probably still sore. He broke it last week. These seasons are really long. These are contact sports. These are large men colliding with each other all year for 5 months and then falling to a hard floor. Folks, if you've never gone to an NBA playoff game and sat close to the floor, you do not understand the amount of physical duress on your body. Every single one of these guys, including Chris Paul, he's tiny by NBA standards. Every one of these guys would walk into any room you're in and be significantly bigger than every other guy in the room. These are 6'5", 6'7", 6'9". They're hammering into each other for 3 hours. They have all year long, they travel on planes. Will they make a lot of money? Still 33,000 feet. It's still arriving in Cleveland and Boston at 3 in the morning. 5 hours sleep, shoot around. So resting, by the way, is not the answer. That load management thing is not the answer. Because Phoenix and Milwaukee played, created chemistry. These teams did not load manage at all. Phoenix never did. And so the answer is working out, getting in the best shape of your life. You want to know who's hurt? James Harden came into the season out of shape. Anthony Davis came into the season out of shape. A lot of the guys that got hurt came into the season out of shape. These teams didn't, were focused, and they played together all season long. So availability is a skill. By this time, forget NFL and hockey, where you're smashing into each other. In basketball, by the end of the season, this morning, between these two teams, everybody's either got a jam finger, a tight calf, a sore back, a nose that just got broken, a thumb that's Chris Paul not right, or just hyperextended their knee. That's other than, you know, Landon Galloway of the Suns, he's played like 10 minutes. He's probably 100%. Nobody else is. I mean, that's just the reality of pro sports. By the end of seasons, I talked to Trent Dilfer about this. He's like, by week 4 in the NFL, You're just asking teammates, what's hurt? It's not a matter of if you're hurt, what's hurt? It's pro sports, highest level. That's why LeBron and Brady and Russell Wilson spend over $1 million a year just for like plyometrics, just to get through these seasons.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
From time to time, Joy and I'm sure I don't want to speak for Joy, but I'll go speak to a college campus or a high school group. You go somewhere a couple times a year, and, you always get, asked for advice on this stuff. And I always say, I don't really have advice because my life's not yours. What worked for me may not work for you, but I do have an opinion. And my opinion's always been the same thing. If you're pretty smart and totally committed, you'll break through. Years ago, when I was a little kid, I wanted to be a baseball announcer. I wanted to be Vin Scully or Bob Costas. And I went to the Seattle Mariners, the Kingdome, the old Kingdome. Eventually, the ceiling tiles were falling on people, but the Kingdome. And they had an announcer named Dave Niehaus. He was a legend in Seattle, probably the biggest sportscaster of my life in my city, Dave Niehaus, beloved. And I got up to the booth. I was a college kid, and I was all nervous. And he grabbed, I've never asked for an autograph in my life. I don't think I've ever asked for one since then. And I said, could you just write something down for me on the picture of Dave Niehaus in the media guide? And it always stuck with me. He wrote with a felt pen, if you want it bad enough, you will sit here one day. Always stuck with me. Kid from divorce, didn't have any money. How badly do you want it? If you're pretty smart and fully committed, you will break through. If you don't, you weren't as smart as you thought or as committed as you should have been. And I thought about this. If Chris Paul wins this title, and I think he will, these players in the last 20 years will have won a title. Steph, KD, LeBron, AD, Kawhi, Chris Paul, Dirk, D-Wade, Kobe, Shaq, Duncan, KG. That's the 12 best players. I don't want to hear about Harden and Melo. Never as committed in the offseason. Often played their way in shape. Not committed on the defensive end. Not as coachable. Westbrook. Totally erratic. That he's not one of the 12 best players last 20 years. What about Iverson? Again, didn't practice. Stories are legendary. They used to put a chair out at Sixers practice with his jersey on it. If he showed up, he had it. But a lot of times he didn't show up. I'm talking about the things that matter. Talent, committed, leadership, both ends of the floor. Call teammates in the offseason. Come into the season in shape. Last 20 years, Steph, KD, LeBron, AD, Kawhi, CP3, Dirk, D-Wade, Kobe, Shaq, Duncan, KG. Who I leave out. I'm not saying Iverson and Harden and Westbrook and Melo, Dame. But they're, and I'm not saying Dame won't win one. But there's also something to think about. Do you have an ego? You have to have the ego for the confidence to work through your critics. But it can't be too big of an ego. I thought Carmelo's ego sometimes, it should have been closer to D-Wade's ego. D-Wade had an ego, has to. But it wasn't too big that he couldn't go, hey, Shaq, hey, LeBron, come on down to Aqua Water. I need help. You also have to have a certain belief that they always say about L.A. People that live in L.A. thought they were too good for their hometown. You have to be a dreamer. So LeBron's like, hey, I got to be mobile. Cleveland's not good enough. He was right. And KD's like, I can't win with Westbrook. I got to be more mobile. He was right. So maybe that's Dame's sticking point. Dame's too loyal. That's part of that total commitment. It's your off season. Can you look at the room and go, hey, I'm doing my part. They're not. I got to leave. There's a lot of things that are about that commitment. It is, do you come in shape ready to play? Are you willing to bark occasionally at teammates? Are you willing to make people uncomfortable and be a leader? LeBron is, and Chris Paul is, and it's hard. And so, I mean, I when I look at Chris Paul, he's a great example. He's had bad owners, bad situations, faced Katrina, a tanking team. You'll break through. In my life in this business, everybody, man and woman, you're smart enough not to be a genius. We're not asking, this is not Elon Musk territory. Are you smart enough and are you fully committed? You'll break through. And so that's why I think the Chris Paul story is great. Not the tallest, not the most vertical, but when you add all the components of what it takes to be truly great, and sometimes it's making teammates uncomfortable. Doc Rivers told me, it's like, Chris is hard to coach. It's worth it, but he's hard to coach. He is sure he's always right. And Doc's like, and I think I'm always right. So, you know, but that's why I think the story is fun. It's a story of perseverance. And I think that's always something to wrap your arms around.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Folks, if you never saw Tom Chambers play, you missed out. 16 years, I grew up with him, Sonics and Suns in his prime years. The teams were so much fun to watch. And there was a little Giannis there. He was 6'10", he could run the floor. He was an unbelievable dunking machine and finisher. He is now joining us. He's a Suns TV analyst. He is joining us live. Four-time All-Star. You know, it is interesting. I remember Tom, you were a unicorn. There were not 6'10 guys running the floor, shooting jumpers, and they figured out how to use you. And this Giannis situation is, you were a better shooter than him, obviously, but when you came into the league, were you a challenge for some coaches because there were no other Tom Chambers?
Well, I certainly was, and back then, my position was called the power forward, and now it's a stretch four, so it's a completely different thing, but you had to go in there and bang and get bruised around and bruised up a lot in my position now. I mean, 6'10 guys are all over the place. Point guard, shooting guard, small forward. You know, it's all interchangeable now, if you will. But yeah, back then there weren't a whole lot of 6'10 guys that were going out and shooting jumpers.
Tom, did you know early in this season, it's a very young team, and young teams, as you know, don't win championships. Did you sense in the first 4 to 5 weeks, boy, we're pretty good?
Well, I sense that, boy, we're pretty good, but you look around the West and everybody else is pretty good too. So, having the experience they had in the bubble, the team really grew together. Obviously, that attracted Jay Crowder, that attracted Chris Paul. People were saying, you know, that this team is going to be really good. And I was a little apprehensive, only that I didn't want to just be too excited about what I was seeing out there on the court. But it's a special group of guys. They play so well together. They have so much fun. And you can say team, but I call this is a unit. I mean, these guys know how to play the game together, you know, right up there with the leaders in the league in assists. The open guy gets the ball, and the open guy typically knocks down the shot. And that's why they're so tough to beat.
You know, you played with a guy that Nate McMillan isn't Chris Paul, but they were feisty. They played defense. They made everybody better. They were kind of leaders in the huddle. And that's kind of a comp. And they're different players. Nate was a taller guy. But with Chris Paul, you know, Tom, he'll call players out. Pro athletes don't always love that. are you surprised how this thing is all gelled so quickly?
Well, I'm surprised how quickly it gelled, but I absolutely love Chris Paul being here. I mean, it's like Jimmy Butler when he was in Minnesota and nobody wanted to listen. And you go to Miami and he almost won the championship last year. So you have to have the right type of guys around him. But DeAndre Ayton's growth this year because of Chris Paul, and he's the first one that will tell you he's made the biggest difference on him. He will call you out, absolutely, but he's not calling you out to do anything that he wouldn't do or is already doing. And he and the guys see the results of his leadership abilities and what he does out there on the court. And man, I love this guy, Colin. I mean, I absolutely love what Chris Paul is doing. I don't think that there's been a time in my NBA career or since then that I've been more excited than when they closed out the West. I mean, to see the emotion on that man. I mean, he's playing at that level when I was done playing because I couldn't play anymore. It's just remarkable. It's remarkable.
Yeah, and he's a little athlete. You were 6'10". You were 6'10", 230. He's a smaller guy, and he's had multiple injuries. You know, we were talking about this in that the NBA is such a physical sport, and we've talked a lot this year about all the condensed season and the injuries, but there's 30 available players, and Milwaukee's missing one. Everybody else is available. Was the injury stuff overplayed? I mean, you guys are all big men. Every room you walk in, you're the biggest. You're colliding for 3 hours. You're on these overnight flights. I don't like using, well, Phoenix is healthy. And my takeaway is the reason they're so good, because they played all the games together. So, I mean, the answer to staying healthy is not days off. It's working. That's my takeaway. What do you make of the storyline this year, the narrative that it's not a normal season, the condensed schedule, nobody's healthy?
Well, it's ridiculous as far as I'm concerned. Obviously, you're exactly right. Play the games. I mean, we used to try and play 82 games every single season. And, you know, now, I mean, a lot of games are being missed because of, what, load management, because of, you know, X, Y, Z. Go out there and play if you can. I'm not, you know, making any excuses for what this Suns team has done. They've been spectacular. I like the way they've built it. You look at teams in the West. I mean, you look at Utah, you look at Denver, you look at Portland. I mean, the good teams are the ones that have played their players and kept playing all season long if they've had injuries. And even this Milwaukee team, they were at their best, I thought, the last two games against Atlanta, and Giannis didn't even play. So, I mean, if you've built a solid team, guys, you can afford to miss a guy here and there. I mean, you don't want to lose your star players, but what the Suns have done has just been special. And you know, to have really some luck involved with Chris Paul, because he's had some bad luck in other playoff situations with injuries, and he's healthy now. And I'm just so happy for the guy, and I'm so happy for this team. They've done it the right way.
You know, it's interesting. We talked about you were a 6'10 guy that ran the floor. You could finish, you could shoot. And you, that was, I remember those days. You were a power forward. Most guys that in your contemporaries go rebound the ball, other guys will shoot. With Giannis, though, could I make the argument, Tom? He's really best served to be a five, to be close to the basket. They keep trying to make him a shooter. And I'm like, listen, we're 8 years into this thing. He's not a great shooter. He's not a, I mean, there, sometimes I feel like we're trying to make everybody, Tom, LeBron. Everybody's a Swiss Army knife. And I'm like, no, that's LeBron. Like, some guys can do some things. How would you play Giannis if you coached him?
Well, I mean, they play him right. Everybody says he needs to shoot a three. Obviously, he's not good at the free throw line either. But I would just go to his strengths. I mean, I'd work him on the block. Who can stop him in the paint? Nobody. I mean, you try and back off of him, he's coming at you with a head of steam, and he's going to be, he's the best finisher there is in basketball. But focusing on the free throw and focusing on the three-point shot, that's not him. Me, I would just put him in there where he can get the ball, you know, inside the paint a lot of times at 15 feet, one dribble, and he can finish. I mean, he's an absolutely spectacular athlete. But the free throws and also the three-point shooting is, you know, he's not the mold of, okay, he's got to be a three-point shooter. He will never be that.
You know, you played with Charles Barkley. I asked you this off the air, and I want you to share this. I had a couple of interactions covering Charles as a player. He was very funny. He was just always giving. I remember one time he came to Portland. Phoenix, you were on that team, and came to Portland, and they won. And I was a reporter, and he looked at me, and he goes, what do you do on a Saturday night in Portland, Oregon? What are you going to do tonight? And I'm like, I'm married. I'm going to go out with my wife and have dinner. When you played with Barkley, did you know he would become this star?
Yes, I did. He was a star not only on the court but off the court. I mean, he was so kind to people, gave people so much of their time. I mean, after 15 or 20 minutes of them dominating his time, he would say, can I get back to my friends now? And that's usually when he threw somebody through a plate glass window or something like that. But he was just fun with my family, with your friends, with your mom, with whomever. He's just that person all the time, and you absolutely got to love him. But, yeah, you're right. When the games are over, he's got to find a place to go wind down, if you will.
Yeah. By the way, you played on that Suns team that played Michael Jordan and the Bulls. They were so much fun to watch. When you were on that team, I mean, what's funny is people didn't shoot the three, and you guys scored 130 regularly. I mean, I went back on Google about 2 years ago, and I went back to that team, and I'm like, good God, you're like the Globetrotters. There was a 135. When you were in that moment, you gave Jordan a lot more trouble. Can we admit it now? That series was closer than people think.
It was close. It really was. The one thing that team did, our team did, is we went down 0-2 to the Lakers. We went down 0-2 to the Sonics. We did the same thing with the Bulls. It seemed like that team only played hard when they had to, and that was kind of Charles. I mean, when he had to play hard, his back was against the wall. There was not a better player, but we dug ourselves some holes, but we were pretty good, and certainly we could have beat that team. I still don't forgive Danny Ainge for leaving John Paxson, though.
Tom, it's a pleasure to see you. You look great. Continued success. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Colin.